All right, welcome back to KMBR. Tonight, Kerry Crowley hanging with you until 10 p.m., getting you set for the matchup at Lambeau Field on Saturday night, divisional round, 49ers and the Packers, yet again meeting in the postseason. Here to help us set the stage, Mike Wall, host of the On My Block Packers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, former All-Pro, All-Pro guard. Mike, thank you so much for making some time for us.
Thanks for having me on, man. Looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, really looking forward to Saturday night. And I have to ask right off the top, you played in this type of weather all the time. How difficult is it for a road team to go into Lambeau Field and adjust to the conditions that the 49ers are going to face on Saturday night, where the Green Bay Packers seemingly have such a great home field advantage?
Yeah, so at first glance, you definitely think you have a home field advantage. And I would say this, it probably matters more in like November and December when the game's it's not like a one-and-done deal. Mm-hmm. When you get to the playoffs, the finality of it all, you know, the last thing you're thinking about, I think, is it just being a little bit cold. If it was super windy like it was in Buffalo a couple weeks ago, or if it was coming down with sleet or something, I would say the advantage is distinctly in the Packers' favor. But in a situation like this, the atmosphere is great. You know, walking into Lambeau Field as an opposing player, there is that, you know, 4 or 5 minutes that you're awestruck, like, oh, my God, I'm here, I'm in Lambeau Field, I'm in the Yankee Stadium of football, you know, playing against the Packers in the playoffs. There are those moments for some of the players, some of the coaching staff. But as far as the weather goes, I really don't see it being that big of an advantage.
Interesting. Interesting. Hey, what to you is like the hardest part of going into Lambeau Field? Is it like being an offensive lineman? Is it being a skill position player? Who seems to have the greatest adjustment period? Maybe even a quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo, who's dealing with multiple injuries right now.
Well, I think the injuries are always a problem, regardless of where you play. You know, when I was playing in Lambeau as an offensive lineman, we were extremely happy at the way they maintained the grass. Mm-hmm. The grass was actually a little bit thicker, a little bit longer than it was in most stadiums around the league, and that slowed down defensive linemen. As you can imagine, being a big fat guy, being able to to level the playing field as much as possible is something that we really look forward to. And I said one of the advantages for both sides, both offensive lines, is when you have a heated field and you have the frozen tundra, you have the moisture in the air and you have the moisture on the ground, sometimes that field gets a little soupy. And again, that always, anytime the field conditions are poor, that always favors the offense.
We've talked all week on this show and on these KMBR airways about what the 49ers need to do to win and what needs to go well for San Francisco to come away and move on to the NFC Championship game. In your mind, what do the Packers need to do? What are some of the biggest keys this weekend for Aaron Rodgers and company to advance past San Francisco?
Well, I think if you're a Packers fan, you have to feel really good about their offense overall. You look at it, we're getting three guys back on the offensive line, Bakhtiari, Myers, and hoping Billy Turner gets. So I feel like we don't have any holes on our offense. To continue to stay on schedule, be extremely balanced. I think we're going to run pass, balanced offense, give Rodgers the opportunity to make those quick decisions on the line of scrimmage and execute, whether that's Davante Adams, whether that's DeGuara, whether that's one of those two Pro Bowl caliber players in the backfield, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. I think the real battle is going to be on defense, being able to stop the run game. Guys like Trent Williams on the backside of plays, the way he can cut off that three technique and open holes for Elijah Mitchell and Deebo Samuel when he's in the backfield, having that incredible eye discipline at the linebacker level, because understanding that they might run Deebo Samuel in jet motion just to get your eyes off Elijah Mitchell and be able to hit that hole. So really that eye discipline, be able to play on their line of scrimmage in the run game, that's really going to be the difference for the Packers, I think, defensively. And then the way we play it on special teams, honestly, you know, if we have a wash, we're just going to call it a win.
Hey, everyone in San Francisco feels the same way. I was looking at the stats. It's hard to believe because the 49ers special teams have been like the worst of my lifetime. They're an absolute abomination on a weekly basis. And somehow the Green Bay special teams are worse. Like, make it make sense to me, Mike.
Yeah, it's been abysmal every single week. Just when you think they're looking up, something new will happen. We've had muff punts, bad kickoff returns, poor kicking. It's just you got to smile because we finally have a defense that I think is a championship caliber defense for a long time in Aaron Rodgers' tenure. And as a fan, as a former player, you just feel really good about the opportunity you have because of the strength of your offense and the strength of your defense. And so you almost like you hit the eraser a little bit on the special team to just pretend like it's not going to make an impact on the game, although we know it can make a huge impact on the game. So I'm glad to hear you say that the Niners aren't much better.
Oh, not much better in any way, shape, or form, I'll tell you that. If people know Richard Hightower's name, he's the special teams coordinator, that's not good, and they've known it from week one on. So I'll say that about the 49ers special teams. Chatting here with former All-Pro guard Mike Wall, host of the On My Block Packers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Mike, if there are, you know, liabilities or deficiencies for the Green Bay Packers outside of special teams, what will the 49ers look to exploit this weekend? Because I look at this offense and it feels like even if the run game and A.J. Dillon doesn't get going, Aaron Rodgers can just throw it 40 times and the Packers still have just as good of a chance to win. Like, what goes wrong when Green Bay loses?
Well, I think offensively, the only way that we lose is if we don't come out with a balanced attack. You look at the Tampa Bay game last year in the championship. We got into a lot more of a five-step drop, get back, snap protection, offense, something that I don't think plays to our strengths. Otherwise, I just see us scoring points. I think I at least have a three in front of the number of points we score this weekend. And really, it comes down to defensively, we're the same as a lot of teams in the league. We're playing that two-shell. We're trying to get home with four. We've been able to do that against most offensive lines this year. And it really means your safeties have to come down in the alley and tackle extremely well. That is something that Amos has done. Savage has not been as good at. So if you're looking for a deficiency, for a potential weakness, coming down in that alley, as important as your outside run game is for the San Francisco 49ers, like, that is just something we can't miss on this week. And with Deebo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell in the backfield, it just really presents a problem for us. And then, of course, you think about your quick screen game and everything else that guys like George Kittle bring to the table. I'll tell you what, George Kittle for me is the best tight end in football.
Yeah.
And I don't care, you know, who we put on the field. We really don't have an answer for him. So it kind of limits what we can do from a coverage standpoint anyways. So I would imagine that we'll stick to this two-shell, you know, try to make Jimmy Garoppolo play 16, 18 play drives. Figure he's going to make a mistake. You're going to have a holding call. Something's going to happen that's going to muff that drive up and just continue to be on schedule on the offense.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It's really interesting to think about the way that George Kittle has played against the Packers and the way that he's played the last few weeks. He hasn't been featured in this 49ers offense, but we know that he has been in the past against Green Bay, so that's a key to watch. Hey, Mike, if you're looking at Green Bay's team, aside from Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, I think every 49ers fan knows those two names. I think every football fan knows those two names, future Hall of Famers. Who are maybe two or three of the X factors who could have a significant impact on Saturday's outcome?
Well, I would start with our defensive line. Kenny Clark has been an all-pro caliber player this year. He's going to the Pro Bowl again. Rashawn Gary is a guy who I think is his third-year player out of Michigan. And, you know, if you look at just pressures in the NFL this year, he's one of the top two or three guys. Pressures equal picks in this league. Jimmy Garoppolo is one of those guys where if he gets pressured, he gives up the bag a lot. We saw it last weekend. We've seen it before. And so we're excited about his opportunity to go against your right tackle, who's a backup. I think it's Compton, right? Mm-hmm.
Indeed, Tom Compton. Great run blocker, Terrible pass blocker.
Yeah, so we're kind of looking forward to that matchup. You know, Preston Smith's out there going against Trent. That's a tough matchup, but Preston did pretty well last time. And, again, we might be getting Z Smith back as well. So our defensive line is really good, underrated, and they don't necessarily have the sack numbers, but they do have the pressure numbers. They play on the opposing team's line of scrimmage more often than not in the run game. So I'm really looking forward to those guys having a huge impact on this game.
Talking here with Mike Wall on KMBR tonight, former Green Bay Packers offensive lineman, spent seven seasons with the Packers. Last one was 2004, so you never overlapped with Aaron Rodgers, and there's been a lot of chatter this week about Aaron Rodgers and his legacy, and, you know, this may be his best chance to win a Super Bowl since that 2010 Super Bowl. What do you make of the legacy talk of Aaron Rodgers, and where does he kind of fall in your all-time greats in terms of quarterbacks?
Oh, that's a great question. So I was lucky enough to play with Brett when I was there, and I would say as great as Brett was, that Aaron's probably the best quarterback I've ever seen from a talent perspective. I know he doesn't have the numbers that Tom Brady has as far as Super Bowl championships, and you know, I think that's part of the reason that we have this legacy conversation in the first place. But Aaron's the most talented guy that I've ever seen. He's playing the best football of any quarterback I've ever seen this year. I know his stats aren't necessarily as high as some of the other quarterbacks, but when you watch this guy play football, what he has to work with, you know, he's been out four of his five starting offensive linemen almost the entire season. And to put up the numbers he has, his touchdown interception ratios, completion percentage, just keeping the team on schedule, playing without multiple receivers in multiple games and coming out successful. I mean, he really is. He's like next level, man. It's like watching an artist paint or something like that. He really is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's true. It really feels that way. And just four interceptions this season. I mean, ball security, we know it's so important, but when you watch Aaron Rodgers, he just never puts the ball in jeopardy, and it's amazing. One guy that I wanted to pick your brain about, you know, being a former offensive lineman yourself, David Bakhtiari. Mm-hmm. He's from the Bay Area. He's a Sarah High product out here, and even though I hate Sarah High, everyone else loves it. I went to a rival high school. But Bakhtiari, what does he give that offensive line? What kind of a lift will he have in helping Green Bay this weekend?
Yeah, good question. So Bakhtiari is what I like to call a force multiplier, because not only is he going to be 15-20% on the field, his presence alone, his communication skills, the dominance he has in the run and the pass game, you know, he's the closest thing that we have to a Trent Williams. And guys like that, first of all, they make their quarterback that much more comfortable, mm-hmm. which makes the entire offense that much more comfortable. But the people that he's around, the offensive line, the left guard, Mercedes Lewis, the tight end, or Aguaro, the tight end, like, you just feel better when the big dog's in the lineup, right? It's like you had a German Shepherd guarding the left side, and all of a sudden you have a 250-pound King Corso. You feel a lot better about life, and that's how it feels to get Bakhtiari back on the line.
That's a heck of an analogy right there. I love that. Oh, man, and probably one that 49ers fans don't want to hear, knowing that that Nick Bosa and Samson Ebukam and the guys on the edge will have to be going up against those Packers tackles who've been very good, and now getting Bakhtiari back, it's big in protecting Aaron Rodgers. Hey, Mike, a few more for you before we let you go here. Looking at this Green Bay staff under Matt LaFleur, obviously he's had a ton of success since coming to Green Bay. Hasn't won the big one just yet, but Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, quarterbacks coach, getting interest in NFL league circles for maybe head coaching positions in the immediate future. What do you like about the staff that LaFleur has put together, and who impresses you from that group?
What I love is that they've been open and conducive with working with Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes these, you know, you get new, especially these young coordinators that are going to become head coaches and bring their staff in. You've seen this, like, everyone's trying to find, obviously, the next Sean McVay, and be an offensive genius, be a scheme genius. And they've really opened their arms to working with the best player in the league and making sure that the offense is part of his identity as well, like has his fingerprints on it. So I love that part about it. If I'm going to single out a guy who's just done an amazing job this year and should be at least be in the talk for offensive coordinator positions, if not higher than that, it's got to be Adam Stenovich, the offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. Because like I said before, man, he's literally been working with four brand new offensive linemen for most of the season, and they haven't missed a beat. Like, their numbers are ridiculous. They have two Pro Bowl caliber running backs in the backfield from a yards per carry, and the way they'd be able to close out games, the drop back to sack and drop back to pressure ratios. I know a lot of that's Aaron Rodgers. Look, we know how special he is, but Adam Stenovich has just done a masterful job of putting together a system based on, like, some principles that are pretty simple to execute, and allowing his team to continue to kind of do the same repetitions over. These young guys can get really good at a couple things, be the best at the basics, go out there and dominate on Sundays.
I love that answer. Great insight. And Mike, one more for you before we let you go, and maybe a dangerous one to ask a former Green Bay Packer on the air here in San Francisco, but prediction for this weekend, who wins and why?
So, of course, I'm gonna go with my pack. I think it's
shocker,
31-23. Yeah, you're right. So I think it's a 5.5-point spread.
It is.
I
never got Green Bay covering, huh?
Smart, right? Yeah, I got Green Bay covering 31-23 just because I think that's a fun number. I like when it's an 8-point spread, because then there's always that other guy to score and go for two. What happens is in football games, though, I got to be honest with you, is whoever's down, I start rooting for. Like, I just want a good game. I just love the action, right? So I'm a Green Bay fan. I'll be rooting them for them there out. But if it's if it's like a 14-point game, a 21-point game, I really don't enjoy it. I'll turn it off. So I'm kind of hoping it's close until the end.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are expecting a one-possession game out here, and it'll be fascinating to see. Packers 6-2 in 8 one-possession games this year, and the 49ers 4-5 in 9 one-possession games. So, Mike Wall, former All-Pro guard, thank you so much for joining us here on KNBR tonight.
Thanks for having me.
All right, he is Mike Wall, and that was a fun time. Really enjoyed picking his brain, particularly about Aaron Rodgers and David Bakhtiari, getting inside football with a guy who's been there and done that. Like I said, 7 seasons with the Green Bay Packers, former All-Pro guard, played under Mike Holmgren, San Francisco native, Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, and so a lot of football on his mind, and does a great job co-hosting with Amon Green of the former Green Bay Packers running back on My Block Packers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. And Amon Green is one of my favorite running backs to watch growing up. So really cool to get to talk to someone who's close with him and Mike Wall. Really appreciate his time as well. So later on this evening, Tracy Sandler of the Believe Podcast Network will also join us. She covers the 49ers. We'll get that perspective heading in to Lambeau Field on Saturday. But up next, I want to break down my 3 main keys for the San Francisco 49ers to defeating the Green Bay Packers on Saturday at Lambeau Field. 24 hours away from knowing the outcome. Jimmy G and the 49ers going in trying to pull off the upset. Mike Wall picking the Packers, but no surprise the former Green Bay Packer lineman is doing that. Much more to get to here on KNBR tonight. I'm Kerry Crowley hanging with you until 10 p.m. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.